Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Get More At Bats podcast, where we help salespeople navigate the world of prospecting. Today, I've got a super, super special guest, Garen Parkins, who's going to walk us through the power of video. Garen, before I proceed, quick introduction, please, my friend.
Thanks, Amar. I appreciate the invite. Jamie, thanks for having me. My name is Garen Parkins. I'm the founder and CEO of DeskRig. I'm from Upper East Tennessee and really spent the bulk majority of my career in virtual sales roles and learning the ropes on how to really be able to execute virtual sales roles effectively using the power of video. And so that's really what led me into starting DeskRig, is that when the pandemic happened, I saw that I had gained the expertise and knowledge years before to be able to help folks that are really going to find themselves in these virtual sales positions moving forward.
That's amazing. And I think, Garen, just to kick things off very quickly, I think every person today in sales is just way too apprehensive of showing up on video. Maybe, can we start off with that? Because you're in this way deeper than Jamie and I, right? What is the psychology of why people are afraid of going on video?
No one likes to see themselves on camera. I know very few people that without very large, a lot of vanity, that enjoy seeing themselves on video or recorded. It's the same concept of when you were a kid and you record your voice thinking that you're singing a song well, and you listen to it in reverse and you're like, wow, I sound terrible. That's awful. It's the same thing on video. And I think a lot of people have a lack of experience and in recording. So ultimately, the way you show up in person, it's authentic. And when you see yourself in a recording or you're doing a recording, there is this apprehension and fear. And then that makes you less authentic, just like it would in person. When you're feeling nervous, the other person feels that energy. That translates on video. So I think when people watch themselves in reverse, they see it as a negative. It's more of a negative than it would be a positive for them. So I think it's a fear aversion, if I'm being honest.
I think I know the answer to this, but I want to get your perspective. How do you get over it?
Practice.
Well, it's funny because I was going to ask something similar. I just started reading a book called Prepared. Okay, so this is a survival guide book. You can get it on Amazon. It was written by a Navy SEAL. And it's like, how do you prepare yourself for, you know, an earthquake, an avalanche, an intruder in your house? And there's these five steps. And step number one is actually starting to push yourself into comfort zones that actually retrain the synapses in your brain to overcome the fight and flight. And the unfortunate examples they use in the book was like school shootings and things like this. But the concept was they had these two case studies from teachers that were actually in these schools at the time. And one was a Holocaust survivor and one was in the military. And the concept was they had, when they looked back, you know, at the scenario, they had the ability to, when something awful into most people's brains, like going on video, happened, they had this innate ability to instantaneously take like that sound and turn it into something of a positive. And it was, and they talk a lot about practice. So I know that was a long-winded way of me talking about the book Prepared, but how do you get prepared for this? Like, what can you do other than make a video 16 times, deleting it 16 times, afraid to put it on social? Like, how do you
get great it? Question.
That you realize the world isn't all about you. Not everybody in the world is seeing this. And so I'd love to know your thoughts.
Yeah, there is a few strategies that you can think of with this. And I think you take it from a few different angles. First, I think let's just look at the two main ones. It's the content of what you say on video, and then it's also how you look. Those are the two really big things that you want to focus on improving and kind of looking at. And I think the how you look is really the easiest one. Look at professional video that you've been watching your whole life. We've all been watching television. You know what a news anchor looks like. Why do you think that that's the way billion-dollar organizations make their brand ambassadors show up? right? And how can you emulate that as best as possible? Like, look at the camera angles, look at the production quality, look at what they're doing. Try to take those cues from places that are the most successful with video. And you don't have to buy a $10,000 camera, but you know, simple things like the way that I'm set up, almost like a 90, right? A way I'm using a teleprompter, and it's not an expensive one either, to give eye contact on video, like little things like that. The second thing is the content. And I think that's really where most people get caught up, is they don't want to sound stupid and they don't want to publish something that's forever. And I've heard a few different coaches, and really the favorite, you said this a second ago in a different way, but it's about understanding that there is someone out there who does not know what you know. Even at the most basic level of any discipline, you know more than somebody who knows nothing. If you know something, you know more than somebody who has never been introduced. And so you're going to provide value because you're the unique individual coming to a discipline with a unique perspective. And that's the angle you need to think about. It's like, don't feel like you need to come in and be able to give a doctorate, a dissertation on this topic to give value to a community, right? Just talking about your experiences brings value. And that's the perspective that people need to be coming to with video, with the eye towards improving their ability to deliver through practice. And there's only one way, and it's reps. It's just reps.
One thing that's taken me a long time to overcome is 10 years ago, we started making video content around social selling. And, you know, maybe I was hitting on these 5 or 10 subtopics. And then I was constantly reaching, well, what do I say next? And people around me, including Amara, would say, no, do it again, just change it up.
Right.
And then the next month or next quarter, no, do it again, and then just change it up. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. In my little echo chamber in my own brain, I was talking to the same people saying the same thing, but that's not true. There was, yes, you've got your hardcore fan base that maybe is probably sick of you talking about social selling versus cold calling for the 900th time. But that's not always who, not every video is for. There's also this massive audience that had never considered social selling versus cold calling. And they're hearing it for the very first time.
Exactly.
And I think in our own brains, we confuse the fact that we've heard it so many times. Well, then because I'm bored of it, everybody else must be bored of it.
Yeah.
Do you mind if we flip? I think one of the best ways to get people to do this, to understand the opportunity cost, like you've been helping thousands and thousands of people become comfortable with video, but what are tangible use cases where you've seen, whether it's businesses like the CEO, the founder got on video and their business transformed, or the account-based sales perspective, sellers becoming a customer using video, what does it do for them and their lives and their livelihood? So they can understand this is a momentary lapse of pain for a completely transformative moment of their life.
Sure. I'll use my own testimony. Like that's really my favorite story is my own, because it's what really propelled me into doing this for other people. And it's why I'm so passionate about helping people on video, because I saw firsthand myself go from, you know, just working at some, you know, local national agency. Yeah, they've got some national customers, to getting, you know, trips around the world to Singapore and Amsterdam and Lithuania, and meeting executives at the highest levels of companies like Bosch, Heineken, Country Malt Group, Grain Corp. It's the largest hops and malts distributor in the world. I mean, I'm just some kid from Northeast Tennessee who had a dream of being, you know, being traveled, being cultured, getting these opportunities and being in rooms with people that I didn't feel like I actually belonged in. And then all along, realizing that there's just a secret to it. And with video, I learned really to be able to get into these rooms in a way that was new. So basically, I got a job at a software organization. I don't know if you want me to use names or not. Virto Commerce. So I was working at a digital agency as a new sales director. It was a pretty new job for me, actually. They had strategic partnerships with software vendors. One of those software vendors was Virto. They asked me to come start their sales organization, their startup company. And they were like, hey, we see potential in you. Why don't you, well, we'll give you a shot because we think that you can do this. So they were in Los Angeles. I was in Northeast Tennessee. I'd never worked virtually before. Okay. I had a degree in video, so I knew video, but that still wasn't something I was thinking about at the time. For the first year of that job, I absolutely fell on my face. Had no idea what I was doing. There were so many things I had to learn with the software and enterprise, B2B e-commerce selling and digital transformation and enterprise ecosystems. There was all this to worry about. But on top of that, and where this is really relevant, is I would go into these calls and the gatekeepers to these RFPs would do this. Who are you? And I'd be like, oh, here we go again. Like I'm losing before I even open my mouth. And it's because I was showing up in my basement, in my home office, which was a basement at the time, right? I was like a young professional, young family. We're just getting started. And they instantly just judged me by how I looked. And so that would start off just terrible. I would never get past the gatekeeper. One day I was watching a Twitch stream, which is video games. And I was watching
this a couple years ago, by the way.
20-year-old kid down in the corner playing his video game behind him, and he had stuff coming up and all these things going on. And I was like, wow, this is captivating. And he has 20,000 people watching him.
Wow.
Why can't I take these same concepts and move them to business presentation to make my business presentations look more like what you would actually choose to watch, right? Entertainment. More so than this kind of bland PowerPoint presentation where once I share, I disappear. So I implemented a few little things and instantly saw a success. The who are you turned into who are you? Right? It was like the shift, same words, different tone. And I saw an instant change in the trajectory of my career at Virto Commerce. And out of that, we did win global Heineken deals. It helped them get a footing that now has propelled them into probably one of the most promising B2B software organizations in the world. And that's really because we got these opportunities, which a lot of other companies can't find their way to. And I was a new sales guy trying to find my footing, and showing up on video in a professional way was the only thing I changed. It's the only thing I changed.
Testimony. Yeah.
Saying the same things, coming with the same energy, right? And all I needed to do was convince that gatekeeper that I looked good enough to meet the guys in the back room that are like really just like normal human beings that you can just have a conversation with and be transparent and say, yeah, we're a startup, but these are the reasons why we think we're better than you know, your legacy.
You basically, so Garen, if I were to interpret what you're saying in your own example, you basically went from who are you to there you are.
Correct.
Right? Or I know correct. Who you are. And that helped you basically synthesize deal flow better.
Yep.
Because the hardest part of the sales cycle is actually what happens before the sales cycle. It's the prospecting cycle. So you basically killed the nasty prospecting monster by using a very powerful sword or a weapon called video.
Exactly. Exactly. And that led me down the path.
Yeah. And the price to enter that door of becoming that mega warrior who slayed the prospecting dragon was literally repetitions and practice.
Absolutely. And a little bit of investment on, you know, some equipment.
Right.
Just sensory capture devices is I like to say it that way better.
Oh, I right? love
because I want man. To transform. I want to transform this video experience into something where you're like, man, I really kind of did feel like he was there. Like that's weird enough. Like he did make me feel like I felt his energy through video, and it takes the right sensory capture devices to do that.
So on that, on our last kind of question or topic before we cut. if you were to look the eyes of an account executive or their sales manager and say, you all can do this. Here are step 1, 2, and 3 just to get started. And that could be on the tactical side, like here are the devices I would get just to get started. Mm-hmm. Here's the tools or the whatever you need. What would be your step 1, 2, 3?
Yeah. I mean, I would have a simple kind of almost like a brand guide for my ambassadors that are going to be in the field, right? I'd say, this is the standard in which you're going to show up to meetings from now on. You don't show up to meetings in person in shorts and a t-shirt, do you? No. We're not going to do that online anymore, right? We're going to send you out, we'll say $500 onboarding package, which is really nothing in consideration when they're buying them a computer and all the other things, right?
Yeah.
Maybe a little green screen, right? That goes on the chair. A decent camera and a decent microphone, like three things. And the camera needs a mount, not one that goes on the laptop, one that gets you in a place that accentuates. Yes.
It's funny because my laptop is down here, but my HD camera is here. And every once in a while, I somehow try to catch my own eyes. I'm like, I want to see if I'm looking at the camera. I'm like, no, I'm not faster than the camera. But yeah, I have to remember to be looking here.
Yeah. So just personal tip. I think every professional who works virtually full time in the future and has a layer of interactivity with a customer, internal or external, really, whoever your customer is, you need to buy a teleprompter. And not for reading scripts. It's not for reading scripts. It is simply like the entire time we've been having this conversation, I get to look at you the whole time.
So is your computer, just from a tactical standpoint, do you have a desktop? So your computer is at eye level, at the screen level as well? Or the teleprompter is re-showing your face to me through that? Is that why the
teleprompter? So the teleprompter is just, think of it just like a monitor. It is just a monitor. I have the video call on the monitor in the middle, and behind the monitor is the camera. So when I'm looking at the monitor, it gives the illusion that I'm looking into the camera.
So you don't have to run it. So you can run your camera off the teleprompter, but you use a laptop perhaps as your computer of the day. It doesn't have to be a big Apple desktop. It's just the teleprompter that connects. Interesting. So for the audience who's interested, how much is it? Because an Apple desktop is $3,000 or $4,000. So it's really expensive. How much is the teleprompter?
A teleprompter is $300.
Yeah.
So and it's an extra screen too.
Than the giant desktop Apple computer.
And you just mount it.
Yeah. By the way, Jamie, Apple desktops are now $1,500. Just letting you know. But
my laptop was, I don't believe that.
It's true.
So sorry, to recap, you mentioned teleprompter. What were the other details?
So that'd be the first thing is look into some hardware investments that are strategic. You don't have to buy the best, but the way you implement those tools into your setup will be the difference between using them every day and using them every once in a while. Mess of cords is not something you want for your mind mentally or for your space physically. You also don't want to be able to get the most. So you want to be able to make sure your microphone's close enough, right, to where it's going to work. But also you don't want it in screen covering your face right here.
Yeah.
Like, so just small little things like cues like that. I think like there's a million checklists online for things like that. Second, I think is look at some software options like OBS Studio or Ecamm Live or mm-hmm.app. Like there are many virtual presence and presentation, Prezi Video and presence and presentation softwares on the market and emerging of varying different technical onboarding levels for folks to be able to try out. And they give a more dynamic ability for a presenter to capture the audience's attention. And I think looking at those two things, start there, right? Just start there, make it simple. And then we could talk about this for so much longer.
Yeah.
We've been talking about live video a lot of times, but I think the recorded video is as important as the live. realistically, they're 50-50. But getting live dialed in is the most important one, because it's when you actually have that person and you can react to their body language. You send a video into the ether, you can't react to them.
Yeah.
On the one-on-one call,
that's buying intent after. Yeah, exactly.
The video call needs to be flawless. That's where you need to focus your attention.
This was fantastic.
You got to get Garen back, Jamie, because I definitely want to continue this conversation.
Absolutely. Well, maybe we'll do a deeper dive. And how do people get a hold of you? What are best channels to talk?
Yeah, LinkedIn. Check me out on LinkedIn. It's the linkedin.com/li/GarenParkins, GarenParkins. You can check us out at deskrig.com as well. And if you want to send me an email, it's my first name, Garen@deskrig.com.
This is fantastic.
Great. Thank you, Garen. Thank you so much. Great to meet you.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Really appreciate the very tactical tips. And we're definitely going to get you back. And just to spitball the idea, Jamie, we should do a session on how to nail the live meeting experience. Maybe do another one on how to nail a social media video creation, et cetera, et cetera. So, Garen, really appreciate it, my friend. Thank you. I'm sure the audience will really like this.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Jamie. Mar, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Thanks, man.